Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Actor's Toolkit. The Actor's Toolkit is a weekly podcast with new episodes being released every Friday. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please hit the follow button on your podcast provider and you'll be notified when new episodes become available. The Actor's Toolkit is produced by the Audair Academy, first-class training for actors and graduates in the United Kingdom. You can check out our website at www.audairacademy.com, where you'll find information about upcoming workshops, classes, and special events that we have coming up at the Academy. Thanks for listening. There we are. Hello and welcome along to the Audair Academy In Conversation With, and a big shout out to all the listeners on the Actors Toolkit podcast. Today we are joined by the lovely actress Olivia Bromley. Olivia, how are you doing?
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Not a problem at all, not a problem. So the first question that we always ask everyone on the podcast, who is Olivia Bromley? And can you tell us a little bit about your career so far?
Oh, yeah. Well, I am an actress from Manchester originally. And a musician as well. And I studied at the Oxford School of Drama for a year postgrad after I'd already done a degree. So I did a kind of 1 year course at the Oxford School of Drama. Mm. And then I went to live in London and acted and whilst doing about a million different other jobs, and for the last 5 years I've been working in soap, which has been Emmerdale, and that has taken me back up north, so that's where I'm up to really.
Yeah, of course, because you play Dawn Taylor in Emmerdale. Oh, yeah, and yes. How are you enjoying that? I can't believe it's been 5 years.
I know, I can't either. I really can't. I think the pandemic makes time feel really weird and stuff. Yeah. But well, I'm loving it. Yeah, I really am. It's a very specific, funny, weird type of world soap, I think. But I just really, really love playing this part. And obviously, I've been doing it for 5 years, so I feel very lucky to be able to do that. It's taken me back up north, which is lovely as well. Mm. And given me a different type of like insight into the industry and working in telly and a different type of stability in life. It's a full on world.
And of course you and I met doing an indie film in Tenerife. Yeah. In fact, I was with you the day that you got offered the job on Emmerdale. So how has your life changed since then?
Yeah, I know, because it was funny because when I got offered that part, I'd actually just been offered 12 episodes for it. Mm. I thought, great, this will be brilliant. I really wanted to do more telly. And, you know, obviously we'd done film and stuff, and like I'd been getting parts in small films, but I was really struggling to get telly roles. And I think that's sometimes the problem. It's a bit of a catch-22. You just need your first one. Often I was feeling like I didn't have enough experience in castings to get big parts and stuff. So I thought, God, 12 episodes in soap would be really good for me to just kind of learn a little bit more about how filming really, really works. Because I'd done quite a bit of theatre until then. And actually then that 12 episodes ended up being in a regular part that's been 5 years. So it's funny how things work.
And what was the audition process like for Emmerdale? How many auditions did you end up having in the end?
Well, I actually auditioned for a lot of parts before I got the part of Dawn Taylor. And I suppose this is quite a nice thing to remember as an actor, really, that when I first went up, I think I just finished drama school and I went up for a part and they were like, oh, you're a bit too young for this particular role. We come in for another one. Mm. So about a year later, I auditioned for another one. And it's funny because I know the people who play these parts now that I went up for. Like it's funny how it all works and why, of course, they got them. And I kept coming up and auditioning for things, and often it would go right down to a screen test. So you'd maybe done like a couple of self-tapes and then a few in-person auditions and then actually taped on the set with the cast and hadn't got them. And I was so convinced I'd got this part. I was like, great, can't wait to start. Like I just felt it was mine and I didn't get it. And I was really gutted about that one particularly.
Especially when you've been on set, you know, acting on set, and you feel like it's right there.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, the process is quite hard, but especially for roles where they've got a storyline ready, and you do come in and you audition with existing characters, you kind of do chemistry tests or whatever, and you do it on the set, and you can kind of, yeah, it's a lot of work and a lot of different stages to each part, I think. So when I didn't get this final one, I thought I was really like defeated actually by that. And then interestingly, when we were working together doing that indie film, they phoned me up and said, "Oh, we've got a part for you, but you don't need to audition," because they'd seen me so much. It was nice. It was nice to not have to audition, even though it's 12, 12 episodes.
Okay, so what a lot of actors at the Academy ask, what's a day in the life like on Emmerdale? So do you have early rises? Do you have, rehearsals? What kind of how does the day kind of fold out for you?
Well, it really depends on what kind of storyline you have, because actually your working life isn't set, like it is a much more kind of 9 to 5, it well not 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. really, kind of working job. But you're not always going to be that busy, because it depends what kind of role you're taking within the storyline and the plot. So say, but if you are busy, let's imagine that you've got like a big story coming up, you'll probably be in makeup at 7 a.m. and you can do up to like 10 scenes a day, more, sometimes more. And then you finish, probably wrap at about 7 o'clock, and then you'll be doing your lines for the next day in the evening. So it is all consuming in that way. But it's also lovely. And like I say, that's not all the time. So you might just be coming in and filming a couple of scenes because you've got, I don't know, you're serving someone in the wall pack, or you've got a little. But in a very heavy storyline, you'd come in, go straight to makeup, and then you would probably rattle off about 10 scenes.
Cool. Okay. And where do you see the character of Dawn going? I mean, do you reckon this is going to be a long term thing for you, or I mean, obviously, I don't want to have any reveals on the
No.
podcast at all. But I mean, where do you see it going? Do you hope that this will be a long stint in Emmerdale, or
Well, do you know what? I mean, like I said, I just could never have guessed that I would be playing this part for so long, and also to have the opportunity to have such a long running role in it, and to be given, I've been really lucky because I've been given some really gritty, juicy storylines, really soapy stuff from murders and all sorts. So I was like, yeah, I mean, last year I was like kidnapped at my wedding and hung over a viaduct and all this kind of stuff. So it's really fun, and I think they keep writing very fun stuff for the character. But I do think that certain characters are really long running, and that's very natural, and other ones it'll come to kind of a natural end. So as long as the character's still being written for and it feels like a natural place within that soap, and that there's interest there, yeah, I mean, I absolutely love it. And so I have signed up. We normally like sign every year our contracts. So yeah, I know that I'm there for a little while longer at least.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Good stuff. What was your biggest challenge as an actor when you first started Emmerdale? Because obviously working in soap is a completely different world to, say, working on a BBC series or in theatre. What was your biggest challenge as an actor?
I think it is such a different way of working, and it was a real adjustment for me at first, because I hadn't done loads of telly. The filming that I had done had been much, we'd just had loads more time. Theatre, obviously, you rehearse in a very different way. You have the luxury of rehearsal in theatre, whereas in soap, really, a lot of it is down to your own decision making, your own choices and character decisions. And I kind of had always been guided very specifically by directors, and felt kind of I needed that just rehearsal time really for things. But in soap, you just don't get it, and you have to kind of come onto set. You might do a quick read through. And then you kind you like the scene happens in the moment, really, and it's however it is live with those two actors. And that's something now that I just love. I've really got used to that. But I think at the beginning it was like I had to really let go of a perfectionist tendency to want things to be really good because you just don't have the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have the time to talk about it in depth. You don't have the time to, you know, discuss different options and how you could play and talk to your kind of like fellow actors and stuff. Really, it just has to happen in the moment. And I think for me, like, I really struggled at the very beginning to be able to go, cool, that's one take and they're buying that, and let it go, because I'd go, but we can do that so much better. It didn't feel quite right. Was it right for me? Did they, you know, all these things. But in a drama, I think you'd have so much more opportunity to give it the time. But I think it's been a really good learning lesson for me, because it's allowed me not to be so precious. And I think that's, you know, stuff goes out on TV that is legitimately, I can go, that wasn't great. I didn't like how I did that. Da, da, da. But I then I've got another opportunity to do it the next day. And also it's kind of bigger. The story is bigger than the individual actor in a way. It's like the world of soap continues. And so it just in a way, it's become kind of a job in a positive way, rather than maybe me being so precious about everything that I do and just letting go a little bit.
And do you find that the directing style gets affected by that? Do you feel like you get a lot of direction from the director, or is it very much a, sorry, we don't have time to fix that, let's just move on?
I mean, it really also, it depends. You get a lot of different directors coming in. And I think, again, really good soap directors know how to talk to actors whilst keeping to a very strict time scale and managing to get, I mean, like, there's really creative soap directors who are doing incredibly complicated shots and stuff whilst also keeping it moving. And obviously there's the crew who are there so skilled in that way that they just, you know, it's really a slick oiled machine that but I would say, like, I think that was what I found interesting at first, because I think, you know, there can be a kind of neediness within actors. I definitely felt it, of being told, well, did I do that right? Is that how it should be? Is this how the story? And actually, the directors don't necessarily have the time, or they're not necessarily focusing purely on the actor's performance. There's so much other stuff going on. So really, you have to kind of have an internal barometer about what you think and how. And it helped me, because I was working with, when I first started, I was working with Catherine Dow Blyton and an actor called Dean Andrews, who had both done a lot of work. They were playing kind of essentially like my mum and dad. And they had so much experience that I could kind of lean on them to go, oh, like, is this right and stuff? Because you're not necessarily going to get that from a director like you would do in theatre or potentially other dramas, because there's just not enough time.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is a question that we talked to another actor about a couple of weeks ago. Do you feel that your training at drama school adequately prepared you for working in the industry? Because we were talking about the fact that we went to drama school 20 years ago, and we absolutely know sort of industry knowledge. You know, we were taught how to, you know, how to do contemporary dance, how to sing, how to act, how to use your voice, but we weren't taught how to write to an agent or how to, you know, format a spotlight profile or anything like that. Do you feel that you had the adequate training at your drama school?
Well, in a lot of ways, yes, but I do think we had like such a small amount of TV and film work. And it was funny, because I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. We maybe did it towards the end of one term, but I did a year's course. So like with Oxford, I think that they had a 3-year course, and I did a year's course because they offered like a DARDA award, which is amazing. And that year's course kind of meant that we had to fit a lot in. So the thing that I felt we got brilliant kind of voice training and loads of stuff for stage and things that, you know, were really invaluable to me at the time. But in terms of working in telly, Emmerdale has been my training for that for sure, because it's just been like really like thrown in at the deep end and doing it every day. And it's like, now there's so much stuff I didn't know, technical stuff. And I just feel like that has been definitely a learn on the job thing. And I think most people would learn on the job, because you can't, like, understand what a set would be like necessarily.
Until you're actually there. Yeah. I was speaking to a filmmaker the other day who was saying that he was talking about Ewan McGregor, actually, and he was talking about the fact that nobody adequately prepares you for the little things on film that can make a director's life so much easier, like understanding what different types of lenses are and how you're going to look on camera or hitting your mark and why that's so important. These kind of things just aren't taught.
I wonder if it's changed, because I did go like nearly 10 years ago, I would suppose now. Almost. And I would say, like, I think there's been probably more a focus on TV training now. And I think it is important, because the technical aspects of it are confusing and difficult to get your head around. And also, you know, you're having to kind of multitask in a way that's thinking about where your light is, where your mark is, remembering your lines, obviously, not casting shadow on someone, you know, all these kind of things that just kind of now have become muscle memory to me. And very intuitive, but like that takes ages. So I do think drama schools could put more, and maybe they are, I hope they are doing more into tele training. Mm-hmm. But the other thing about, I was talking to a friend recently about like preparing yourself for coming out of training at a drama school, or not even at a drama school, but like at any kind of drama training, and just knowing like the things about the industry that are quite important but often don't have that much emphasis on them in training, just in terms of like your tacks or pensions, like what are you doing with your, all these kind of things that just are really important practical life things if you're going into an artistic career, and that can be really left to the wayside, I think.
Yeah, it's like the show business side of it.
Yeah.
So in 2019, obviously, we're friends on Instagram, so I'm forever seeing you at awards ceremonies and things like that. You were nominated for Best Soap Newcomer, which is amazing, at the TV Choice Awards. What's it like attending an award ceremony like that? Because I think every actor dreams of being able to go to premieres and award ceremonies and things like that. But is there a lot of prep for you, you know, from a marketing point of view beforehand? Or is it just a case of put on a nice frock and turn up?
I would say it's probably more the latter. Turn up, put on a nice frock, but it should be more thought out than that.
All right, okay.
It's interesting because I think, again, as a soap actor, it's not like I have a PR agent or anyone. I'm very much tied to Emmerdale at the moment, but I think if you are out in the world, not in the soap world, you know, auditioning for lots of things and stuff, like going to awards is really part of the job as well from a PR perspective, but it's less so for us at the moment. For us, we are kind of celebrating and promoting Emmerdale and the show, and therefore it's I suppose there's less pressure on it because we're going as a big collective, and I mean it's really fun. They are really fun. I think there can be a lot of pressure for, like, you know, I think this is kind of stopped in the media with the best and worst dressed and the picking apart of bodies, but I think it's only honestly stopped in the last couple of years that they've stopped doing these like terrible articles of people and things. So I think there can be a lot of pressure, particularly on women, to you know, spend a lot of money and walking a red carpet's not stress-free. But like I say, when you're going with Emmerdale, you're going as a kind of a big group representing the show. So it's a really nice kind of family feel. And there was one last year I went to their NTA Awards, which was brilliant because Emmerdale won. It was their 50th and I had to accept the award. And it was so scary because it was live on TV.
Yeah.
And I was like so worried about you know, I could say anything or tripping up on the stairs or whatever, but we all just kind of piled up together and it was absolutely fine. But that was like a really nice moment of kind of going, oh, it's the 50th year of Emmerdale and we've just, you know, won something. So that was good.
And then being on people's TVs every single week, it must change the way that your life is a little bit. Do you get recognized quite a lot or is that a myth?
I would say more now because just as time goes on, it also depends at what kind of storyline you're in. I think if you're in a like a big storyline at the time, often people will shout things and they'll be engaged in it and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think like it's really nice because I it's not doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, people tend to be real fans of the
Yeah.
show, and you know, it's really that people kind of are just lovely about it, so it's not too overwhelming. I think, you know, I think some people struggle with it if it happened all the time, but I think for me it doesn't really, so it's got that quite nice balance. People always just want to kind of chat a little bit about
Yeah, and do you find that people forget that you're an actor sometimes?
well,
You don't blame you for things you've
yeah,
done in the soap and
that's the funny thing about so because you are in people's living rooms, and also like I think this would have happened back in the day. I definitely acknowledge that soap viewing has changed because of streamers, and like I don't know if, you know, obviously when there was only five channels, I think soap actors would have been incredibly well known, and you know, you'd have these Ian Beale or like these, you know, hugely famous kind of soap
Yeah.
actors that we all have in our memory. But now I think because people do watch it, but there's there's more options on it, so not everybody's got those five channels and kind of really focusing on it, that there is a little bit more anonymity. Also I think what is lovely is that when people do watch it and you're in their living rooms a lot, and they tend to be quite dedicated fans to watch it, they really feel like they know you and they know your character really well. So when they meet me, a lot of people are quite shocked because I don't speak like my character, or you know, look, I think in some ways people are like, we have a real shock that I'm not actually Dawn.
It's like they're losing the magic.
I
They're
know
like, "You're nothing like
exactly.
you are on TV." Yeah, and yeah, good stuff. What's your process? So that's the next question. As an actor, it's a bit of a weird question, but what is your process? Do you have certain things that you like to do before you go on set, or do you have any maybe superstitions, anything that you like to work on while you're on set? Do you have like a process that you go through, or are you very much a just we'll just turn up and do it?
Yeah, again, I think it's interesting because of the very specific nature of soap. So I would say, like, because of the speed, I keep banging on about the speed, but I think that's the only thing that really like separates it from other types of work in terms of the way that you're like you have to approach it as an actor. And some people find that really difficult and frustrating. Because it doesn't allow you necessarily, like I said before, to give it as much kind of energy and as much process around kind of the work. Sometimes you're kind of running behind yourself a little bit in terms of getting things shot. But just say, for example, if I was in one of these busy storylines and it was a one of the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. days, my process would tend to be I'd get my scripts a couple of weeks beforehand, and I would read through what was happening to the character and be able to see the story arc and understand kind of the journey of the character a lot amongst other things. And then I would start learning my lines a couple of days beforehand. But quite often, if I'm very busy, I will actually only learn the lines the day before. And I know that sounds bonkers because if I had previously, you know, if you're doing like theatre or you know, anything else, the lines have to be so deeply in your bones. Yeah, like that would be the most important thing for me, would be have the lines down so importantly, and then you could play with it. But with soap, like I said, because of the amount of pages you could be filming in a day, so you could be filming 28 pages, it would be quite impossible for me to learn it really far in advance and then film something else the next day. So just to keep on it, I would probably do it the night before. And then it would just be about repeating. So I record it into my phone. So I often like record the lines, and I would just be repeating their lines, my lines, and kind of getting a real sense of it. So I know it well. And then sometimes in the moment on set, things might change. You might get a different reads, or someone might say we're cutting that or stuff. So you have to be able to be flexible enough to not have that. I think that's what I mean about not precious by going, oh God, but I made this decision, because it can just be changed in a moment, you know, or cut in a bit. So then what we would do obviously on set is we'd read it through with the other actor, and because you're playing the same character, like really it's all about your decisions about that character. You know the character more than anyone else, because I mean, particularly with my character, with the character of Dawn, because she only came in for 12 episodes, there wasn't necessarily like a huge backstory written for her at the beginning and stuff.
Yeah.
And they, the writers kind of fed that in, and then I had to kind of bring my own interpretations to things. So it's been a bit of a kind of cycle of us working together, like a little, I don't know, I would maybe make some decisions about the character, the writers would write that in, and it kind of feeds into each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the process really is much more down to you than down to like the collaboration with directors and writers, in the same way as it would be if you were doing other jobs. So yeah, and then on set, it kind of, you just run it quite a lot of times until you film.
Until you've got it, yeah. And so obviously, as you're saying, it's a heavy schedule with Emmerdale. You've been doing it for 5 years. Do you get a chance to do other acting work outside of Emmerdale? And if you do, what's the process for that? Is that negotiated by your agents, or do you just say, look, I want some time off, or do you try and work it around when you're available?
Really, there isn't much opportunity to do other work, actually. I have managed to do some creative projects kind of with friends, and I've done a couple of shorts that are like, again, on the weekend with friends, and like not, you know, I'm still able to do kind of other like music and stuff, but you are tied quite exclusively to ITV and Emmerdale, which is understandable because you don't want to cause conflict in terms of like the story of the character.
Yeah.
And obviously availability, I think, like it's really hard with scheduling for them to get everyone in. So that, I think that's one thing that people, you know, soap is just not for every actor because you are committing to this playing literally one part, and you get, you know, such a range of storylines, like ridiculous storyline. One moment, who knows, you can be happy as Larry, the next moment not, and it can be really like dramatic funny stuff that you have to do. But so where there's a variety and that kind of thing, you also are tied really to do that. Mm-hmm. I think some people manage to go off and do theatre if they've got a break and stuff. I think that might be easier because there's a very set period, you know. So yeah, it is definitely like a commitment to the show.
You tend to see quite a lot of soap actors maybe doing pantomime because they've got, you know, the Christmas break and things like that. Has that ever crossed your mind? You ever thought about doing panto?
Do you know what, it has never crossed my mind. I never ever thought about panto until so many people that I know obviously do the job, and it sounds really fun. And obviously because you're in soap, you you know, you have a kind of very specific character. So if you're playing there's Kim Tate, who kind of plays my stepmother at the moment. She is just like the perfect kind of evil pantomime, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, she can go in and do that, and it just makes total sense, and I think people love it. So never say never to panto. I don't know what Dawn would play. She'd have to do like a kind of sad Cinderella story or something.
Perfect. Right, last question. We ask this question to everybody that comes on the podcast. If you could change one thing about the industry, what would it be and why?
Good question. Oh, I changed quite a lot, I think.
Well, feel free to let us know.
Where do we begin?
Where do we begin, yeah.
Obviously, I'd just love loads more jobs to be there out there for every actor, obviously. But no, in all seriousness, I think I'd start with kind of more funding for generally for artistic projects, and to allow different voices to tell stories, and also to allow people to be able to create and to exist in this industry without having to really, you know, being fairly paid, obviously, but also to allow them to be able to have the opportunity to create and not have to feel so financially strapped, because I think there's a big disparity between, you know, people who have the financial backing the luxury to be able to exist in this industry versus others who don't. So, but general funding, government funding, obviously, in the arts. And What else would I change? So much. I think for actors, I mean, just maybe speaking from a specifically an actor's point of view, I think lots of actors can feel like a little bit out of control of their destiny because of the way the industry is. Completely understandably, there's too few jobs, too many actors, and obviously agents and casting directors are such an important part of that. But I sometimes think that actors having a little bit more autonomy, and you know, whether that is it's not a meritocracy in the sense it's not like that you work hard and definitely get something.
No.
And that's the difficult thing, and that's not something that can change, but I think that's something that a lot of performers particularly struggle with, the instability of it. So yeah,
I thought of another question actually. If we had actors at the Academy, say for example, who wanted to get into soap, what would be your best advice to them?
Yeah, interesting. Well, you know, I think the first thing, when I was mentioning the fact that I auditioned loads of times and didn't get the part, but I kept being brought back. So on a really like simple level, I think it's really important to remember that when you're not getting parts, every audition, you're still auditioning for future parts. And when you might be thinking, God, like I keep not getting it, but I'm close or whatever, the good casting directors will get you back and will see you and stuff. And I know that with friends who've come in and done just like a little kind of guest role here and then come in for again. And so every little job is still worthwhile, and every audition is still worthwhile, even though nothing comes of it and it can be so disappointing. But you know, I just think that's a really good thing to hold on to when you're feeling a bit demoralized. But in terms of getting specifically into soap, I think you know, training as an actor obviously important, but I don't think it needs to be a drama school training. But if you have a great showreel, that is important, I think, just so that people can see what you can do. And that doesn't need to be something that's like massively professionally made. I remember I just got some really good filmmaker friends to just film me doing a monologue. And it wasn't like, but I just put that on Spotlight. I remember quite early on, because I just liked the monologue, I knew I could do it well. And I just had it on for a few months, but it was just something up there. And I don't mean do a Shakespeare monologue but like if you've just got something that, you know, shows you well lit, or you know, a two-hander with friends, I think just getting your show reel up is a good thing. And also just, you know, like you know, writing to casting directors as well, like sending things over, and just, you know, I think casting directors do keep things on file and save, you know, save people that they think are with, and they keep bringing them back. So
they have incredible memories. They remember people's faces, they remember names, like, you know, they will remember you. I think another important thing as well, which I'm always saying to my actors, is watch the soaps. You know, you've got a you know, if you're auditioning for a new TV show or a new feature film, you have no idea what the style is going to be. You have no idea how it's going to actually turn out. But with soaps, they're on every day, you know, so actually watch them. It's amazing how many times we get auditions for soaps and they're like, oh, I've never seen Emmerdale. You're like, yeah. Watch it then, you know, learn the style, learn how it's shot, learn.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that's such an important point, Jamie, because it is a style. It's a stylized type of work. And it's a very specific genre, and also like you're a lot, it's just, you know, by watching soap, you're engaging with a lot of actors who are coming through at different stages of their career and have had, and I think it's just a really good, a good thing to do. And because, I mean, I hesitate to say write casting directors and do this, you know, as an agent, like, It's hard to have the motivation to constantly be pushing yourself out there, and it's hard for me and for you to both go, well, what is the way to get on, to get something? But you can kind of give yourself the best opportunity by getting like a great showreel, making sure you know the genre and knowing kind of what's going on and what works on screen and what doesn't, and watching it, and obviously having good agent advice obviously is very helpful in that way.
Of course. Well, Olivia, it's been absolutely brilliant catching up with you. I feel like it's forever since we've spoken.
I know. Lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you too. So thanks very much for this, and we'll catch you again soon.
Yeah. All right. Nice to speak to you, Jamie. Speak soon.